All right, if you grab your Bibles, let's stand. We'll turn to John chapter 14 and read our text this morning. John chapter number 14. I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 6. The Bible says in John 14, 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Skip down with me, if you would please, to verse number 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on the preaching, if we would, this morning. I'm going to call on Brother Bema. If you would, please pray for the preaching. I'd appreciate it.
Father, thank you for the day you've given us. Beautiful sunshine, Lord.
Now, in verse number 1, the first phrase that we come across is, "Let not your heart be troubled." That jumped out at me, especially since it was repeated again in verse number 27. He said again, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I got thinking about that, and even the way he worded it when he said it. Let me ask you a question. If there was no trouble to deal with, why would he have to say, "Don't let your heart be troubled"? I mean, I've told you over and over and over again, and I cannot preach the Bible without continuing to repeat the theme that just because you're saved doesn't mean you're going to have this perfect little life. I don't believe the prosperity gospel one bit. I think it's a manipulation tactic. Actually, as we go through the next few chapters in the book of John, you're going to realize that Jesus Christ, as He was getting ready to depart out of this world, was preparing His disciples for tribulation, and even says in the upcoming passages, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Jesus Christ promised us that in this world we were going to have trouble. Now, how about that? You know, one thing I love about the Lord is He's so honest. I never find anywhere in the Gospels or anywhere in the New Testament whatsoever, even in the Old Testament before Jesus Christ ever came, where God manipulated people into serving Him, ever. He's honest and upfront with what it is you're going to deal with in this world. I believe the reason so many Christians are troubled in this day and age, and so many seem to be losing their faith or even shook up in their faith, is because for so many years, preachers were preaching a message that was not entirely scriptural or entirely faithful to what the Bible actually teaches about the Christian life. Can I say this? The Christian life is the greatest life anybody could ever live. I am happy to be saved this morning. I'm not dragging around like, you know, with that Eeyore, whatever that guy's name is. Is that it, the cartoon? You know, who is me? You know, no, I'm happy to be saved. I'm happy to be in the ministry. I'm happy that God allows me to preach. I'm happy to have a Christian home. There's nothing about being a Christian, nothing about serving Jesus Christ that's really this big drag to me. It's just not a drag. I look forward to church most of the time, believe it or not. Upon occasion, I'd rather stay home. Is that too honest for you? Upon occasion, it's like Sunday afternoon and the sun is shining and, you know, the hoodie is on. Hoodies have become a theme this fall, if you haven't noticed. The hoodie is on, the sweatpants are on, and you know what? The dogs are playing peacefully and sweetly in the backyard, and all the children are behaving wonderfully, and the birds are singing. This is rarely ever happens, but once in a while. And it's like, man, is it really 4 o'clock already? We got to get out the door. We got to go back to church. Once in a while. Most of the time, I'm pretty happy to come to church. I want to be here. Most of the time, I enjoy serving the Lord, but there is still a reality in the Christian life. The reality is, in the world you shall have tribulation. So Jesus Christ says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Obviously, because there's going to be troubles in your life. I promise. Major part of what I do as a pastor is to be there for people when they're troubled. It's a reality. The other thing he says that kind of catches my attention is let not. Now, why would he instruct me to not let my heart be troubled if I had no control over my heart? In other words, when I'm troubled, it's because I'm not controlling something that I'm supposed to control. And in all reality, I'll just be honest with you so that you don't think I'm up here on the certain level that you're never going to be able to attain to because I'm the man of God, you know, that kind of garbage. To be honest with you, I struggle with this one. Because my heart gets very, very troubled from time to time. It does feel a little bit like as you get older and live a little bit longer that you maybe aren't quite as prone to overreact to things that you would have before. But something else that I noticed that's really strange about getting older is that a whole new set of troubles begin to show up. And actually, if you study Ecclesiastes, the hardest time of your life is the oldest time in your life. How rough is that? You ever run into an old person that's been around a long time and they have a lot of troubles now and it's like they can't even escape their troubles? Not only do they have all the other troubles that everybody else has. I mean, you think when your kids are little that you have trouble. Yes, I said that. It's okay. It doesn't mean I hate children. You think when you have little kids you have trouble, right? There's like two honest people in the room this morning. It's one of those days, preacher, like, you know, the kids swinging from the chandelier and they took their diaper off and decided they were going to swing everything that was there in around the room. And you're like, what is the matter with this? You know, you're on your way to church and the kid pukes all over the car and for no, you know, projectile vomit. You understand what I'm saying? Reality, right? Now, wait a minute. Now put yourself into the shoes of some of the older folks in the room. You don't just have kids to worry about. Your kids are adult size. Meaning the messes that they're making are adult-sized messes. Heartbreaking messes. Big problems. And on top of that, you got grandchildren. It doesn't get better. Not this side of the grave. And the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. In other words, the Lord's saying, you have some level of control over where your heart is at. The book of Proverbs, we're instructed to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What a timely message this morning that we have in front of us, because it has been a year of trouble. 2020 is not a year of calm hearts whatsoever. We could have never imagined. I mean, I will never forget the day that I went in. I was thinking about this week, and forgive such a carnal illustration, but I never forget the day that I went into jiu-jitsu and the coach was saying, and I didn't think he'd ever shut down, you know? The coach was saying, we got to shut down. And I was so mad that day. I was trying with all my heart, because everybody knows I'm a pastor, okay? That's not a secret. And I was trying with all my heart to control myself, because I'm like, this keeps me sane. How am I going to live without getting a chance to choke somebody or having somebody choke me out? I mean, that's life, you know what I mean? I do nothing else for adrenaline. I need this. And I'll never forget walking out of there, and I sarcastically said to them, like, see you, man. Hopefully we'll be open soon. And I turned around. I could see Coach sitting against the mat, the pads that are on the wall. He's sitting on the mats with his back against the pads. See you, man. He's all upset. Everybody's upset. And I said, yeah, whatever. Stay ahead of the zombies, guys. Sarcastically. And I walked out. Never could have imagined. I mean, to me, I was shocked that this was getting this carried away. Of course, not knowing all the details, not seeing all that there is. I'm not citing either way and all that stuff, because honestly, it doesn't really matter. It is what it is, right? So, I mean, what are we going to do about it? I'm not getting all jacked up about all that, whatever. I'm just telling you, this thing hit. I wasn't happy about it. And from there, it just seemed to get more and more out of control. Sitting in my office, I can remember, and looking out the window at my house when we were at this position where now I had to make the decision I was at one time criticizing other people for making and having to, like, what do we do at church? And I remember sitting there and thinking, this is nuts. This is insane. What is next? Well, you've been here all year, so I don't need to keep your mind and heart in that realm all morning, but you know what was next. It just keeps like escalating, doesn't it? Aren't we as humans making such great progress solving all the world's problems because humanity is such a wonderful thing? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
Folks, we're in a mess. You pull up the news and listen, I was thinking about this morning as I was going over my message and just thinking about what you're dealing with and what I'm dealing with and what our whole culture is dealing with. You pull up the news, you turn on your TV and you look at the news, or you pull up your app on your phone and you check the news, and it's things are being explicitly discussed of heinous crime that was committed and all these wicked things that were being done, and it's being blasted out there with detail that is so unnecessary, to be honest with you. Why can't law enforcement just do their job? Amen. And take care of all the creeps and all the people kidnapping women and killing them and burning them and all the rest of the crazy stuff going on, all the pedophiles and all the rest of the mess in this society. Why can't they do their job? Why does it have to be every day public knowledge in front of your face, crammed down your throat? Why can't it ever be like, hey guys, it was a good day today. Here's the news. Guess what? Economy's gonna be okay. Guess what? The sun shined today. Why does it always have to be stuff? Listen, I'm talking, you gotta grab a hold of this. Why is the entire world wired to get in your mind and in your heart in a troubling and negative and destructive way? Where's the good news? I'm gonna say it again, because it ruffles feathers. No, I'm not that, because it's truth. If you're conservative, I know what crowd I'm speaking to. I know we're probably all conservative. If there's one or two in here that aren't, whatever. If you're conservative, if you're liberal, whatever side of the aisle you're on, have you not noticed they're all messed up? These people say what their solution is going to be. These people blow their solution completely out of the water. If they get their solution, we're shot. We're a socialist nation. We're all losing all of our rights and everything else. And then they have their solutions, but these people attack their solutions and say if they get their solutions, we're shot. Yeah. Nothing's ever going to work out right. Yeah. Folks, the whole thing is wired to keep you troubled. Because you'll come back and you'll click again, and you'll click again, and you'll click again, and you'll click again, and you'll click again. You know what Jesus Christ said? Let not your hearts be troubled. One thing they taught us in business before I quit my job to come full time as a pastor, they'd send us out to these big fancy meetings and we'd have the best of the best come and train us on how to do our job and all this stuff. And time management was a big thing. And another big thing was stress management. And what they would say was this, they said, control the controllables. I got a couple good things that have helped me out quite a bit from some of that training. They said, control the controllables. Because there's a lot of uncontrollables you can't control, and all you do with the uncontrollables is you roll with it. Because there's literally nothing you can do about uncontrollables, right? So control the controllables. Can I say this? There's not a person in this room that can stop the virus. There's not a person in this room that can control the political arena. I'm going to go vote. Okay, knock yourself out. I don't care if you do or don't. It doesn't matter to me. This isn't about that. There's something that I'm concerned with that's a whole lot bigger than all that mess. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
There's something I'm concerned about this morning, and it is trying to help you have a happy heart. I believe with all my heart, my job this morning is to give you something that will comfort you, to give you something that will help you to live with a heart that's not troubled. If I can give you a little bit of relief this week from the mess that you're in, from the pressure that's on you, from all the problems around you, and boy, if we had time to go through everybody's lives, I mean, you take everything that I always said, which we all as a general public are dealing with in this world and in this culture and in this country and the mess that this thing is in. Boy, if we could go through your personal life and talk about how the devil has worked to discourage you, the devil has worked to destroy you, the devil has worked to get you off track, to get your mind and heart away from Jesus Christ, to get you away from the Bible, away from Christian fellowship, to harm your family, to mess with those people that you love. Boy, if we could add all the troubles up in this room, we would leave here so depressed, so beat down, the devil only would get the victory. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, what I love about this passage is that as he's in his darkest hour on his way to the cross, he looks at them and he says, hey, you guys, don't get all worked up. I don't see it demeaningly, and I don't mean this demeaningly, but hey, guys, relax. It's going to be okay. Lord, how in the world, in your darkest moment, you know the context, Judas just betrayed. Jesus Christ is fixing to go and have this complete joke of a court system. An absolute joke. We'll get to it. I'm already starting to prepare for some of these later passages that we're looking into. I'm looking at what's going on in the culture and the government setup while Israel is in captivity under Roman bondage, right? Think about this with me. The disciples have loved and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. They've cast away everything that they had, even causing family problems, to leave what the careers that they were in, what they've been trained to do, what they've been raised to do, leave their own families and go follow Jesus Christ in His life and ministry. To add on to that, Jesus Christ is there and He's preaching to His own, to Israel, right? And those in Israel that have their dogmatic religious rituals, I mean, they're walking around looking like they're all that, all spiritual and everything else, they're absolutely against Jesus Christ. So His own people are against Him, right? To make matters worse, you have Roman oppression on them at this time. Rome wasn't really interested in Israel for Israel's sake. Rome was interested in dominating Israel because it was in a little portion of land there between Egypt and Syria that was very, that's where their real power was. That's where the real important territories were. That's where the most of their armed forces and all that were. But there's this little strip of land that goes between those two very important assets that Israel sat in. So the number one priority of Rome was to keep peace and stability in Israel. Make sense? And on the scene comes Jesus Christ. And what's He doing? He's walking around stirring the pot. He's in there healing the sick, raising the dead, helping people that nobody else cared to help. Hey, He's taking care of that woman at the well when they wanted her killed. He said, hey woman, where are thine condemners? No man condemn thee. No man, go and sin no more. He said, hey, I love you. I'm here to help you get out of the mess that you're in. When all the world would turn on her, Jesus Christ was siding with people nobody else cared about and making some point in His ministry that it's about something bigger than religion. He was trying to get at their hearts all the time. If a man look at a woman and commit adultery with her, to lust after her, he committed adultery already in his heart. Wasn't He constantly making the point that your religion ain't cutting it? Your issue's your heart? He's stirring them up, see. What did Israel want? Why did they crucify Him? What they wanted was a military ruler to lead them out of bondage. And what they got was Jesus Christ coming in going, hey, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. What's His problem? Are you kidding me? I'm going to say this, and I'm going to move on. I'm not going to park on it. I can't wrap my mind around why Bible-believing preachers don't seem to get the point that politics is not our arena. Jesus Christ Himself refused to get involved in the politics of the day. You know why? They didn't matter. Something bigger than politics matters. Something bigger than our security and our wealth and our prosperity as Americans matter. Listen, I enjoy the goodness and the blessings of living in this country. I enjoy, you know, a nice car with those little, you push the button and the seat warms up in the wintertime so you can slide into a nice pre-warmed seat. It's nice, ain't it? Hey, we got the heated garage. What a blessing. We didn't put it in. It was there and we bought it. Pull the car in the garage in the wintertime. You shut the door. I don't know about this. That's my wife's spot. And boy, am I jealous. No scraping the windows in the morning. Hey, it's a blessing to have some of the things that this country offers. But you want to know something? You don't know whether it's going to be here tomorrow or not. There's no guarantees. So my point is, it's not about this world or this life. Jesus Christ comes in and he's refusing to get involved in the mess they wanted him involved in. That doesn't mean he's not going to. Eventually he will. But the timing wasn't right. And so what he was doing was preaching a message they weren't grabbing a hold of, because he wasn't giving them physically in this world, in this life, right now, what they wanted. So what did they do? Away with him. You'll see when they take him into court how they're trying to pit the Roman government and the Israeli government against each other and making all these false accusations depending on the situation to try to jam him up. It was just like the mess you look at every day when you're looking at your news and you're watching how everybody's trying to trap everybody else so they can get rid of them for everything. Both sides of the aisle. Some of you are probably just, I just wonder who pastor's going to vote for, or if he even votes. That's for me to know and you to find out. They had issues with Jesus Christ because he wouldn't get involved in all that. You know what he's telling them? Don't let your hearts be troubled. I see the political climate. I know what's going on. I see the religious climate. I know what's going on. I see that now, because you guys followed me and sided with me, you have no place to call home. Israel doesn't want you because you wouldn't come under to their religious rules and you wouldn't get into their political game. You followed me when I refused to do that because I was a little bit more concerned about that woman at the well that needed some forgiveness for her sin and a fresh start in life. I was a little bit more concerned about Lazarus who had passed away and I was coming to raise him from the dead. I was a little bit more concerned about the 5,000 who needed to be fed. And they came to me and sat down, and my responsibility was to give them something that would get them down the road and help them out a little bit. And now, disciples, I'm fixing to go. Could you imagine what it felt like to be a disciple at that time? Lord, you're all we got. Everything else is gone. Everything else we cared about is gone. And now here we are completely isolated. We don't fit in anywhere. Because our obsession was you. Because we followed you. Because we heard your call. How can you tell me not let not your heart be troubled? He says, I'd go away. Lord, what in the world are you talking about? Thomas's heart was troubled because of his doubt. Listen, the disciples get a bad rap. I feel bad for Peter. Everybody's always beating on Peter. He took his eyes off Jesus and he sunk. You kidding me? I wouldn't even got out of the boat. You got to give the guy some credit, man. Nobody else jumped out the boat. Nobody else walked on the water. Peter walked on the water. Back off of him. Peter denied the Lord. Well, he was the one that got the closest, didn't he? He was right up there, walked right in the lion's den, was staring right down the throat of the lion. And at the last second, his mind snapped. What would yours have done? I love tough guy talk. Talking is one thing. Walking is totally different. I don't know what I'd do at that moment. I sure hope I wouldn't deny, but I am not going to walk around, well, Peter denied the Lord. He denied the Lord. He denied the Lord. Here's another example. This is why people's hearts are so troubled all the time. We always see the bad and focus on the bad. You know what David did with Bathsheba? That old wicked David. God called him a man after God's own heart. God forgave him.
Sir.
You know why? He had something down most of us don't have down. He was as good of a repenter as he was a sinner. You mean I can walk around with bitterness and envy and pride in my heart and be more wicked than somebody like David who committed adultery and killed her husband to cover it up? Yeah, because he repented just as passionately as he sinned. Give the disciples a break. My whole life we sung the song, "Don't be it outing, Thomas. Rest fully on his promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray?" It's a good song. But poor Thomas, man. How come the only thing everybody remembers about Thomas is that he doubted? Why is it that the only thing people can remember about Job is that the Lord rebuked him and he repented and sackcloth and ashes and abhorred himself and all the things Job said against the Lord? What would you do if all your kids died in one day? What would you do if the devil burned your house down and fried your job and your wife is standing there just about to have a stinking nervous breakdown because she can't take the pain anymore? What would you do? God is honest in this book, and He gives us these examples because we ain't any better than they are, and they weren't any better than we are. Elias was a man subject to like passions just like you.
Amen.
Cut off all them prophets' heads, and then a woman, a Jezebel, "I'm gonna get you." And after slaughtering all them prophets, he runs off and has a fit of depression and starts hiding from a woman saying she was gonna do something. "Oh, you know, Elijah." Whatever, man. The pressure built up. The troubles built up. There was just too many problems. And it came a point where he cracked. Because he's human like me and you.
Amen.
You know what I love about the Lord? Every one of them, he loved anyways. Can I just say it this morning, and you still understand I'm a Bible-believing preacher. The Lord loves you too.
Amen.
Is it okay to say that and still be a Bible-believing preacher? Old school and all that stuff?
Yes, sir.
If it's not, I'm saying it anyhow because it's the truth. The Lord loves you. Yeah, you mess up. Yes, you've made mistakes. And beyond that, He said, "I want to go to prepare a place for you." Now, He's been gone a while. Why ain't He back yet? Maybe, I don't know, maybe He ain't done preparing it. Could you imagine the beauty of a place He takes 2,000 years to build when He did this in 7 days? You know, we can't. But boy, I like to try, amen. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Well, all your new Bible scholars, since they're so smart, they come in here and they change it to rooms. Well, you know, room, that just brings back bad memories. Go to your room. Listen, I'm not going to take the time this morning because I'm going to try to get done a little earlier than normal. But listen, try, I said. Reverse psychology. I'm going to preach twice as long as normal. Listen, when you look at the dimensions that the book of Revelation gives you for the New Jerusalem, that city is massive. You know what's in that city? Lying in a street of gold that leads right to the throne of God. Many mansions. See, I said just a little bit ago, I appreciate all the luxuries that comes with being an American and the good things we can earn in life if you try. And a little bit of luck and a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but whatever. But I said it doesn't really matter because I'm going somewhere where there's going to be a mansion prepared for me. Now, see, to me, that blows my mind just a little bit because I don't deserve one. Why would He do what He did for me and die on a cross for me and take my sins, bear my sin in His body on the tree, be buried, rise again the third day, and go through all that He went through to save my rotten carcass? Listen, I ain't much, man. I know that, and I'm not saying it to play humble. I'm really not much. I feel like one of the little ants running around on the little ant hill, you know, the dirt ball called Earth, and there's billions and billions of little ants running around on it. And I'm one of those billions of little ants with a very little impact and very little influence. Think about this for a minute, not trying to discourage you or trouble your heart, but let's grasp a little bit of reality because reality helps me. When I die, Think about how much of the world is going to have no idea that I died. That's depressing. Not really, it's reality. Because I'm not that important. I mean, I am to me, and I hope I am to my wife, and I hope I am to my kids, and I really hope I am just a little bit to you, but I'm really not that important in the grand scheme of the universe and all that it is. And yet Jesus Christ loved me enough to come down from heaven's glory, to take my sin on Himself. That blows my mind, but I believe it with all my heart. And I'm telling you, it helps me not be so troubled. Because He loves me. He cares about me. And He looks at me like He saw David and like He saw Peter and like He saw Thomas. And He says, hey, Mike, let not your heart be troubled. Well, Lord, it would be a lot easier for me to handle all these problems if I didn't know that it's actually my fault, not yours. It's my fault, God. I did it. And the Lord's like, what do you think I even came for you? I won't tell you what He calls me because you might get offended. But, you know, honey. I'm like, yeah, Lord, that is a little bit stupid, isn't it? That I would think the only problems that You can solve, the only time I can find peace is when it wasn't my fault. Let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Preacher's been saying that for years. We're just saying it because Jesus said it. When are you going to quit believing it? Never. And when the rapture comes, I'm going to be like, Lord, can we pause real quick in the clouds? I got to send a few text messages. Told you so. Told you so. Told you so. Told you. He said, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And He tells him something interesting in verse 4. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Now watch it. Why is Thomas's heart troubled? Because he doubted. Thomas saith unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever doubted? Be honest. I can't stand playing this stuff. None of this is a joke to me. Not one little bit of it is a joke to me. Have you ever doubted? You better believe it. 3 things that God put inside the heart of every human being on the planet. Why am I here? Where did I come from? Where am I going? Every religion thrives on it. Do you realize what religions will do to you? They will capitalize on verse number 5 in your psyche. Lord, we don't know where you go. How can we know the way? Well, I don't think anybody can be sure. Doubt. Yea, hath God said, Lucifer's first attack on man. Doubt. Doubt what God told you. Doubt what God showed you. You know, I don't struggle anymore, and I say that carefully because I know the devil hears what we say, with my belief in the Bible. There's so much evidence in that book that it's from God that the more I study it and the more I'm in it, the less I doubt it. You know, I don't really doubt. There was a time, I want especially some of you kids and many adults, but some of you kids to hear this. There was a time that I struggled with whether or not I actually got saved when I got saved, when I was little. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? So when you got saved because you were afraid of going to hell. And that was the beginning of wisdom, and Jesus Christ is the personification of wisdom. So when you get freedom from that fear is when you get saved. But it says perfect love casteth out fear because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So as you're growing spiritually and in the earlier stages of spiritual growth, that fear can tend to sometimes resurface. And as you grow spiritually and grow in your love for Jesus Christ and get to know Him better and how He works, and there's just an exchange that continues to go on too many times for it to be happenstance. It's extremely scientific. It's observable and repeatable in your life, in your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, where it's like, you know what? There's no doubt at all. Amen. I had a guy come to me this week, and he's supposed to be here today, and he didn't show up. I'll have to take it up with him. But anyhow, he said, Mike, it's crazy. Pastor Mike, it's crazy. I said, what? He said, every time I decide I'm going to do right and get closer to God, evil shows up. I mean, evil. I said, well, my, can you imagine that? I want, maybe there's just a little something to it. I'm not talking about an inexperienced and superstitious person. talking about somebody with a lot of experience in life, in a hard life. It's amazing. So what will the devil do in the early stages of Christianity? That fear comes and goes. You know, I don't necessarily as much struggle with that kind of fear anymore. I'm sure that I'm saved. I mean, it's just too much, man. It's God's made himself too powerful, too obvious in my life. Amen. You know where I struggle with my doubt? Lord, I'm going to get up there and I'm going to preach again. And really, sometimes I don't feel like it's going anywhere. But you know what the Lord says? Go preach again, Thomas. Why? Because I'm doing something and I got something prepared you know nothing about. So just get up and do your job. You know what I got to do by faith? Get up, open up the book again. And preach again. And trust that the Lord is doing something that I know nothing about. You know the Lord's got you taken care of. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know where you're going. Thomas, well, how can we know? And how can we know the way? We don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you know where you're going. And if you don't know him as your Savior, that's your problem with your doubt. We found the problem. We peeled back the onion just enough to reveal the issue. And the issue is, you don't know Jesus Christ, and that's why you don't know where you're going. Because without Jesus Christ, you can't get to the Father, because he's the way to the Father. And without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ain't going to heaven. You think the Father's going to accept anything but his Son? He won't. Thomas, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, what I'm talking about this morning is not a theist. I am not a theist. There's one God and we're all trying to get to the same God through our own path because he's God, and like it doesn't matter if you take this path, or that path, or the other path, all the paths lead to heaven, man. Where'd you get that? You know what? Only somebody that came from heaven can tell us how to get back to heaven. And that's the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Allah had no son. I know, I'm not talking about Allah. I'm talking about the God of the Bible, the one that created the universe, not the moon god or whoever he is. I'm talking about the right one, the God the Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, the triune being, the three in one, whose image Adam was created in. Jesus Christ said, believe in God, believe also in me. He's making it clear what way is the way to heaven. James chapter 2 says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. Sarcasm properly placed in the inspired word of God. How do I know it's sarcasm? The next phrase of the same verse. The devils also believe and tremble. Big deal, you believe in God. That's kind of an obvious one. Very intelligent people who've tried to go out and disprove there is a God, the more they study it, the more they find out there has to be a God. It's innately in us to know we came from somewhere and that we aren't our own creators. Things don't create themselves anywhere. It's not even close to science. There has to be somebody bigger and stronger out there who put this thing in motion and keeps it in motion. It just has to be. It's the most logical and most intelligent conclusion anybody can come to. And the one that came down from heaven said, thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. When's the last time you met a theist that was so afraid of seeing God that they're shaking? The devils do. Belief in, quote, God doesn't cut the mustard. You've got to have the way, the truth, and the life, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way back to the Father, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If your sins have not been forgiven, you've got to deal with them when you see him. Don't give me this garbage about good works outweighing bad works and religion and all the rest of that stuff. I've been doing this religion thing just for a little while. It's just a little bit a part of my life. And I know one thing for sure. Mike Reagan can't cut the mustard. Amen. Thomas's doubt cause his heart to need some help with not being troubled. Philip's desire, look at verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. What did Philip ask? I think he asked a good question. Lord, I'm in. Let's call him Lord. I'm in. I believe in you. No doubt. I'm done. I'm committed. I'm here. I'm faithful. I know what I'm about. I know what you're about. I'm in. But Lord, I'm not quite sufficed yet. Can I just say, I'm kind of liking Philip just a little bit. Because I want a little more from God. I'm not trying to be greedy. I'm not trying to be selfish. But honestly, I would love to have just a little bit more from my Heavenly Father. I'm not sufficient in my current knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm not happy with my current level of spirituality. I'm not happy with my current knowledge of the Bible. I want a little bit more. Hey, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. He says, give me something more I can grab onto. So Jesus Christ gives him something more. But the reason our hearts are troubled is because rarely does He give us what we want. Because Philip wanted a vision of the Father because he felt like, man, if I get a vision, I'm going to be good. But Jesus Christ had an answer for him. Jesus saith unto him in verse 9, Have I been with you so long time, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. The words, the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You know what Jesus Christ's answer to Philip is? You know what He's saying? Philip, you want to see more of the Father? You got to have more faith in me. You want to see the Lord work in your life? I like evidence. I have a strong leaning in any kind of an educational sense, always towards science. I love the sciences. It's intriguing to me. It's very interesting. I like evidence. I like to be able to put something together and not just be this, you know, well, it's my faith. You ever meet somebody like that? You're just like, well, why do you believe that? Well, just because I feel, and it made me feel, and I just felt, and this aura came over me of I just was flooded with peace and unity. And it's always like kind of like fake. You're like, you get around somebody like that, and you're like, get your back to the wall and keep it to the wall, because, you know, it's just creeping me out, man. I like to have my faith in something solid. I like to see the Lord working. I want to know that I'm on the right track. You want to know how to know? More faith in Jesus Christ. Where from? He said it right here. The words that I speak unto you. You want to see more of the Lord? You got to get more in His Word. You got to study that book. You got to believe that book. My job is not to cause you to ever doubt the Bible or set myself up as you got to come to me to actually know what it actually means. My job is to teach you, to give you the Word of God, to equip you to be able to open that book and have God Almighty speak to your heart from the pages of Scripture. Hey, listen, it happened to me this morning. I'm reading a passage I've read so many times in my life. I don't even know how many times I've read it. I was reading a passage, and it was funny because as I was reading that chapter, I said, I should close my Bible and see if I can just quote this whole thing because I really am that familiar with that chapter. And something came out of that chapter that I'd never seen before. Something I've been asking God about that pertained to my preaching that I've been looking for an answer on. And just this morning, that book came open to me just a little more. Something clicked in my mind, in my heart. Hey, there's a little more evidence that my faith is in the right place. That's Jesus Christ. You want to see more of the Father? Believe in me. How? Get in the book. He said, all right, if you're not going to do that, then believe me for the very work's sake. Let me tell you about the works of Jesus Christ. I am married successfully so far. You just heard how I said that, right? That was on purpose and not sarcastic. Or, I mean, it's funny, but not meant to be funny. 18 years, right? Right, honey? Okay, good. So I'm going home. I'm not sleeping here tonight. Okay, cool. 18 years. I'm sober. I'm not in jail. A temper that has got me in a lot of trouble when I was younger. So far, we're doing okay. It's like people say, I can see it in your eyes. And, oh, yeah, you can. No, you're not falsely judging me. But you know what? There's a God in heaven. Amen. You know why? Because I am not anywhere near where I would be if He hadn't loved me and worked on me.
Amen, brother.
And He has loved me and worked on me. And if you stick around and I stick with Him, you're going to see Him work on me even more. That's biblical. That thy profiting may appear to all. That's what the preacher is told by the old preacher. Make sure that everybody sees that you're growing in Jesus Christ. You're not the answer. You're showing them who the answer is. It's Jesus Christ. Philip's desire. Can I say this? Your heart will get troubled if you really want to grow in the Lord. Do you know why? Because you will constantly be seeing, please hear me, you will constantly be seeing how far you fall short. Am I preaching now or what? Not yelling, not spitting, not stomping, no veins popping in my eyeballs and all that stuff. But that doesn't make preaching. The devil will make sure that you always see how far you fall short. You know what he'll say to you when you mess up again on the same sin you've been struggling with for a long time? He'll say, how many times have you asked God to forgive you? Don't even ask Him anymore. Yeah, I'm not preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to reality now. You got a desire to see the Lord, it comes by faith. Faith in His Word, faith in His works. He's the one working on you. Can I say this? You got people around you that you want to see God work on? Hello. Am I the only one that has people that are a pain in the neck? Okay, so now you get what I'm talking about, right? You really want to see God work on some people? I want to see His work. It gets discouraging. Your heart gets troubled. You know what you got to do? Have faith in Him. Stay with His book. Understand it's His work and He'll do His work. My last point and I'll let you go. Look at Judas's dilemma. Look at verse 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot. It's two Judases. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? So Jesus Christ said this, if you love me and if you keep my commandments, I'll come and I'll manifest myself unto you, right? I'll show you who I am. I'll show you my work. I'll show you what I can do in your life. I'll show you how I can take care of you. I'll give you something that you'll never forget. Judas is saying, now, Lord, how are you going to do that for us and not for them? Because Judas is thinking like Philip was thinking, I need a vision. Judas is thinking, so how is God going to manifest? Looking for this big manifestation. And it's going to happen and only we're going to be the ones that see it, but the world doesn't see it. Judas's dilemma was he wasn't getting and understanding how God works. Can I say the reason our hearts get troubled is because we fail to realize how God actually works? This is one thing that helped me through this whole shutdown, because I think, as you can imagine, being a pastor and having that all that kind of stuff start to happen, that's literally like nuclear. That's like the worst case scenario coming a reality. I think I've told you before, I had this reoccurring nightmarish dream. I'd wake up sweating that on Sunday morning I got in the pulpit and we were getting ready to start church and nobody showed up. Just almost nobody in church. And it was so weird when the shutdown happened. I told her, I said, my nightmare is now a reality. Talk about being troubled. And the devil shows up and starts saying stuff, you know. The problem is, and the thing that helped me through it is this, I have begun to realize by experience, by time, by repetition, that God works in mysterious ways. And that's not just me just quoting something everybody always quotes all the time. But He doesn't work the way we think or the way we see. But He works. So I was able, with the help of God, to actually keep a pretty calm heart through it all. As long as I kept my eyes on Jesus Christ and remembered that God's in control, He knows what's going on, and He's going to do something in people's hearts and in their lives and in our ministry. He's not done yet. But the dilemma is, Lord, how? Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Lord, how are you going to, if a man love me, keep my commandments? Lord, I don't, if a man love me. Lord, I want you to use me too, if a man love me. Lord, I need you to deal with my, if a man love me. Lord, how are you going to get, if a man love me, and keep my commandments? Then He tells us in the passage, I'm going to give you a comforter who's going to teach you the truth. My peace I'm going to leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. In other words, I'm going to give it and not take it back. My peace, my comfort, my truth, my work. You want to know why a lot of times our hearts are troubled? Because we've never learned how to love our Savior like we're supposed to love our Savior. I'm not beating you up this morning about that. I'm not challenging you to love Jesus more. Because you want to know something? If I was fair, before I beat you up, I'd have to beat my own head into the pulpit. Just being honest. You know what I want to learn how to do? I want to learn how to love Jesus Christ like I'm supposed to love Him. And do what He tells me to do because He told me to do it. It has nothing to do with you and what you do, the world and what they do, the election, the virus, the rest of the trauma and drama going on all around us has nothing to do with my heart and my Savior. And I think the reason my heart gets troubled is because sometimes that troubling shows me where I've put my emotions. Does that make sense to you? If my emotions are too much in this bucket or that bucket or that bucket or that bucket, then when you tip that bucket, my emotions are gone. But if my emotions are where they're supposed to be in the hands and heart and will of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't mess with that bucket. He ain't checked into Walter Reed or nowhere else. He ain't wearing a mask. He ain't worrying about a virus. He ain't running for re-election. He coming back to establish His kingdom and claim His own. And He said, in the meanwhile, I'll give you peace. I'll give you comfort. I'll give you a heart that's not troubled in a world full of tribulation. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.